I am Terry Howell. Here is the Butcher's Lane, Texas, and my co-authors are Judy Doak right here. She's graciously agreed to answer all your questions.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
My other co-authors see that down here.
Oh, now I'll pass them on to him.
And the real worker is Ken Copeland, behind all the work. But Ken is back in the lab, you know, we should be doing right now. I want to thank Steve for explaining how lenders are built, and Shaw for explaining some of the problems you might have. Alabama is not a major crop in our region, but it's gaining importance as a high protein forage crop for our expanding dairy industry region. And it's also very important from the evapotranspiration crop beverage standpoint. Well, Texas, and especially Bookson, is well known for our droughts and our evaporation, I guess you might say. We had the look at all the major drought in the 1930s. All after the 1950 drought, when I was a young boy in the Blacklands Joe, where I grew up. The Southern High Plains were the major drought in the year 98, and much like the drought we have right now, Garrett, in the southeast. Both Oklahoma and Texas were the main drought areas in 98. Mouse, does it work? Okay. I'm going to focus on this area in green right there. This, but before the second cutting of alfalfa in 98, some days of very high infection, and some what I call normal days. Be the mixture of both of those in that 10-day time interval period. And Judy already published a very nice paper in a Grime Journal on the local and regional vaccine effect of the same time period. I'm looking at it from a little bit different angle. And I'll get in that a little bit next slide or two. Again, we're at those of you who don't know, but Butcher's is at an elevation of 1,000 meters or more. And the study was only about 10 days in 98. Alfalfa cropped in the second cutting cycle. And the crop height on June 17th was 0.5 meters. The LEI was around 2.5 meters. I mean 2.5. On June 23rd, near the end of that cycle, the crop height was about 6 tenths of a meter high, and the LEI was about 3. And the alfalfa was actually swapped on the 24th of June. Don't have any pictures from the 98 year that Andy when I got here. I'm well known for being a procrastinator, and I waited the last minute to get my presentation done, and I was looking for slides to use, and these are some of Steve Evans' slides, I believe. On the 96 year, the Wainwright Zimmer, I think by my mouse, is right there, and also over here. And hopefully you really can't see where the edges are. That's our goal in life, is to hide that box as best you can. You want to grow an even crop on the outside and inside. The south Lysimeter is right here, and it has a little bit shorter fetch area, maybe about 100 meters fetch on it. The north Lysimeter has about 300 meters of fetch. And This is a picture of Judy Douglas, technician, Jim Grissom, doing the hard work, the hard thing to help out on the wing last winter. We use the answer Ted tells us, we use the ASC, EMRI, standardized RepTT method for alfalfa, which is, in our terminology, the tall reference crop, as opposed to a grass or a short reference crop. The daily model uses a RC value of 45 seconds per meter. The hourly model uses the RC value of 30 during the day and 200 at night. I'm not sure, well, I kind of know where the 45 came from Rick Allen's earlier work and the manual 70 of ASCE, but the EWI standardized ED numbers were RC or pretty much what I would call a swag number. Those of you don't know what a swag number is, it's a scientific wild guess. But they're pretty close. Look at the average of the 10-day time interval, and I've got the ASCE full-blown Bimonteith equation from manual 70, pretty much for the daily model, and then the EWI. Daily model is the dark blue bar up there. The EWI hourly model, the pink bar. The I call it the Pinman Wright equation. Y'all might call it the Kimberly Pinman equation. Well, I want to give Jim Wright more credit for all that work he did. I call it the Kimberly Pinman Wright equation. Jim Wright did the work. And then the north isometer and the south isometer right there. And this is probably what might be local convection differences. The south has a little bit higher ET because it's got a little bit less vetch than the north one has. But although in G's paper, it wasn't a whole lot with a G.
What's it
now? Yep, it wasn't a whole lot. Okay, the errors that we got, these are not really terribly large. Actually, one of the smaller absolute errors was the Pinman Wright equation, but it had the highest bias and the lowest R squared value. The better the lower bias was the EWI hourly equation, and had the highest slope, which was near one, and the highest R squared value. Okay, so here's some, these are two example days in that 10-day sequence that I picked out to use. And these are June 13th and June 14th of 98. June 13th is day 164, and that was on a Saturday. June 14th is on a Sunday. Both days were pretty well clear days. The acceleration curve in blue has got just a few minor blips on both days, but pretty much a clear envelope curve. There's a big difference though in the advantage of those two days. On June 13th, the wind blew like crazy. We can be in our area. These are half-hour mean numbers. And these are measured over our weather station. This is 10 meters per second for a half-hour average in the whole daytime. You see where those numbers are up? Now, the volume down from the night, and you might note this high nighttime number on the 14th in just a minute as well. The wind picked up again at night over there again. The BBDs were around over 4, pretty dry, and about 3 or so on the second day. These are not too common in our environment, but they can lead to pretty extreme ET values. And when I first saw this data, I didn't believe it. But the ET on that day, on June 13th, was almost 18 millimeters of evaporation. And these are the two wind altimeters here. This is using the green line in behind the cyan and the red line. This is using weather station data. The red line and the magenta line use the weather data measured over the wind altimeter. The more normal day on the 14th, we see about 10 millimeters of ED a day, and a pretty good fit during that day. You'll note that the nighttime evaporation did have a small little spike there, the higher humidity at night. Oops. If you look at the comparison of the weather station data for I'll use 4 days here. I use 2 effective days and 2 what I call normal days, 10-day time period. The if you use actual measurements over the wind altimeter, you get a slightly better agreement. If you use the weather station data itself, but not a whole lot. In summary, the AFC EWI Bimini Montes equation performs acceptably in our for alfalfa under extreme regional advection. For all their short time intervals, the AFC EWI Bimini Montes equation slightly underestimates daytime alfalfa ED, and that's likely due to the RSC values that are used, and I tried to convince Rick Allen Dirk that he had the wrong numbers, and that's like talking to a wall. But Rick Todd published a paper on the Born Ready Show of Bushland, and our numbers are more like about 25 seconds per meter. These interpolation data using it. Data measure of grass worked well for us, and the institute data would be better if you had that data available. And I'll be happy to have to work through that time, Jake.
One quick pot shot of Terry. Come on, ready. Go for it. Okay. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much.